This podcast is sponsored by Relay for Life Siren System. It's happening on the 29th and 30th of June at the South Cerny Airfield at 12 p.m. There will be live music, entertainment, food and drink. For more information or to enter a team, visit www.cancerresearchuk.org/relay for life. Or if you'd like to come and support the fundraisers, the gates open at 12 p.m. on the 29th of July at the South Cerny Airfield. Come along and have some fun and support a good cause. And this podcast is also sponsored by Planet All Stars, Siren Sisters' brand new comic, toy and collectible shop. For more information, visit www.planetallstars.co.uk. Pancast Productions presents Classic TV, Blackadder the Third. Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Classic TV. Blackadder the Third, Nob and Nobility, first aired 1st of October 1987. The Scarlet Pimpernel is the hero of the age. Blackadder, irritated by the new obsession with all things French, decides to cash in on the new craze. Attempting to emulate the elusive Pimpernel, Blackadder accepts a bet to rescue a French nobleman and collect a handsome reward. His plans go awry, however, when he and Baldric are captured and have to escape from the clutches of the French revolutionaries. Former cast member Tim McInerney returns as a guest star, as well as the fellow comic actor Chris Barry. Hello, Pav!
Hey!
It's been a long time coming.
Oh my goodness me, I think this is, without doubt, the longest gap that we've had.
Yeah.
Doing
We'd almost forgotten, but it wasn't that we had forgotten. It was other things came in between and we had to finish those and do those.
It was. The thing is, we did explore some spoilers not long ago after doing one a while back and really enjoyed just going back to doing it.
Yeah.
So I thought we had a free night of recording, so why not crack open the Blackadder?
Absolutely. DVDs? I mean, it's fun again to watch
it. Was, and it's we're more than halfway through, so it seems silly to not
absolutely
finish this. And
so, just to refresh people that may not have listened for a while, we will discuss the episode, which is Nob and Nobility, which is the third episode in series three. Just to give people a hindsight, we will chat about the episode. There will be spoilers if you've never seen it, and if you haven't seen it, go and watch it now, because probably the greatest TV series ever. And also, we'll be explain what we'll be choosing. So there is the hero of the man of the match.
Yeah, we call it the man of the match. So we've got the man of the match. We've also got the line of the show. You know, the punchline, if you like, the joke of the show. So that's basically the things that we wanted to discuss. But I had a listen back, because I thought, as preparation, I thought I'll listen back to the last episode that we did. I should have checked the date of when it was, because it's got to be...
Well, it was last year.
Right, okay.
It was last year.
Okay. And one of the things I remembered and one of the things I noticed that we were also working out our Glastonbury lineup. I don't know if you can remember
this. Oh, yes. I can't remember who was in it.
Every so often we were getting different lines coming up and different... So in our... So far in our Glastonbury lineup, we had Lady Hamilton's Pussy, Sweaty Jew Flaps and Weasel Twat.
So these are the bands.
Yeah, these are the bands. So we said that when it comes to episode six, at the end of this, we're going to have our lineup of our lineup of Glastonbury.
Right. So also, I also remember that you, I don't know whether you have it with you, but you had the date. And
yes, I had what was number one in the top of the hit parade in the UK,
which was a thing then,
and also the number one movie in the UK at the time.
Well, I've got absolutely, I can't recall what it was.
Actually, no, I think the number one movie is the number one movie in the US because I couldn't get the America, the British box office.
Okay.
But number one at this point was Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
That was there a while though.
It was there a while. We've had that the last couple of episodes.
Okay.
And the number one movie was Fatal Attraction.
Oh, yeah.
Glenn Close, there you go.
1987, Lynn.
That might have been where we got Sweaty Dew Flaps from.
Could have been, could possibly. Could have been. So, straight in, where do you think this ranks in the episodes of on Series 3? Bearing in mind that I think I said it before on the other episodes I would have done that, I'm really fond of Series 3, Blackadder the Third.
Yeah.
When I first watched it, it sort of passed me by a little bit. Made me laugh, but it took me a while to watch it again and then get into it, and it was so funny. And this episode, it was just nice straight away to see Tim McInerney, which I said in the synopsis, back in it. Nigel Planer there, our friend Chris Barry, familiar faces straight in, but Tim McInerney, I'm already just, it was loving seeing him again. I'd forgotten he was in it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I always remembered that he was in it, and I always remembered because this was the series that, because I think, I don't know if it's the next episode or the episode after, where Queen Elizabeth makes an appearance.
Miranda Richardson.
Yeah, one appearance in the series. And it, like you say, because I've got a feel, I don't know whether I've read it somewhere, that he was due to play the Prince Regent part.
Yeah, I think he was, but he couldn't because of some other commitments or stage commitments or whatever it was.
But then it was nice to see him.
Yeah, come in. Right, so straight away, through the plot, I'm going to go straight to Mrs. Miggins, because she always makes me laugh, and she gets quite an innings in this one, with her French and her nobility, and all, the French knobs coming in and the cooking. And I'd forgotten with the sound of the frogs in the background.
Yeah. And the horses, Willy, and stuff like that, yeah.
Well, which is always great. So, yeah, right, I just... Yeah, Mrs. McGinnins.
I mean, again, this one is a little bit like the episode, the last episode that we did, which was the one with the dictionary.
That's right.
I didn't overly laugh a lot in that.
Right.
It was more of one of the sort of, it's a comfort watch.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's amusing rather than laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Although I did have a belly laugh then, and I always forget that. Bonjour, monsieur. Sod off.
Yeah.
Which always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But that's all on Rowan Atkinson's delivery, isn't it? Rather than being on his, on the writing. It's just the way he says it.
It is. And that's one of the things that's really good about Rowan Atkinson is his delivery, because he goes from being this sort of upper class sort of, toff, if you like, and then when he's talking to Chris Barry through the jail door, and he's going, come on mate, you know, we're working class, mate, here we go, come on mate, it's a little bit sort of, he's being all cockified and stuff like that, but it's I mean, we do the obviously the man of the match thing, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I was watching it, and I don't think you quite realise just like the production value of, I mean, I know they're BBC sets and stuff, but the costumes, we've probably said it before.
But they are really, really well done, aren't they, the costumes.
Yeah, and I'm really...
And all the hair pieces and everything.
Really get impressed with the fact that it's such good production value, which you would expect from the BBC being period kind of stuff.
But as it's, what, so that's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because, what, we're in 2017 now, so that's 30 years.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's really bizarre. So another line that I was really... So when they walked in, and obviously the two noblemen were sat on the Prince Regent's bed, Tim McInerney and Nigel Planer, and they made the excuses to go, and Blackadder said, "Oh, come to France with me." We're not giving anything away just yet. It's the line that obviously Tim McInerney says, I just remembered my father's dead and I've got 10 minutes to get there. And it's Nigel Planer's line. It was really funny in that moment. And I'm the best man.
Yeah. It's when he gives them those trousers. That's all his lines he had when he followed up Tim McInerney's bit. I just realised Horses Willie, we can add to...
There you go.
There you go. Horses Willie should be playing Glastonbury. So we've got one, we've got one for this episode. That's good.
Well, I was going to have De Frou Frou. What's his name? Count
De Frou Frou.
Count De Frou Frou.
I was thinking, is that a Carry On name? From Carry On, Don't Lose Your Head.
I think so. I think you're right, actually.
I'm going to have to look at that, because I'm sure that...
their version of the Scarlet Pimpernel had that character.
It was Le Comte de Frou Frou. I'm sure it was. I'm going to have a look, so...
Yeah, so Horses Willie on the Glastonbury lineup. Remember that one then, pal. But he, obviously, that's Tim McInerney, isn't it? Dressed up there.
Yes, yes.
For people that weren't quite savvy. So he comes back, and if you're savvy enough, you must realise that he is the Scarlet Pimpernel.
No, it was the Duke de Pomfret.
Ah, right.
There you go, which was Charles Autry. That's probably, I've heard it before, probably from Blackadder, but I thought, I'm sure the Comte de Frou Frou, I thought that sounded very...
it is very sort of Carry On-esque.
Carry On, yeah, but...
but it's like the Horses Willie is very much a Carry On. Well,
it's that kind of humour.
It's all the nudge, wink.
Yeah,
wink,
it's probably why I love Carry On so much, and why I love Blackadder so much, that they're cut from the same cloth.
Digressing a little bit, are you looking forward to the new Carry On then?
They've been saying for the last...
Yeah, it's coming.
So what is it?
They haven't said.
It's not Carry On London, which is the one I last heard.
They haven't confirmed, but filming begins for the American listeners in the fall.
And when's that?
Autumn.
And who's supposed to be in that?
Doesn't say. It doesn't say. It's a bit like Bond. Bond's been confirmed, but filming for the Carry On is...
I don't want any more.
Whether really that's true, but yeah... Anyway, moving away from the Carry On. So it was, going back again, it was really nice to see Chris Barry. Again, I'd forgotten, and I've watched this series quite a few times, but I'd forgotten it was that episode that he was in. And he must have been right in the thick of his spitting image then, mustn't he? Because I don't think Red Dwarf had quite started then, had it?
No, Red Dwarf would have been started then. I'm pretty sure that... what was the other thing that was big for him? Oh, no, Red Dwarf started in 88.
I was going to say, I don't think it had. The British Empire was huge for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was British Empire was 1991, so...
Yeah, he would have still been Spitting Image days.
Spitting Image days, so people wouldn't really have probably known his face...
Back then.
As much then.
He's got, in the early days, the way he did his expressions, he's very Kenneth Williams, isn't he?
Well, he used to do a
great Kenneth Williams.
Doing
it on there, he was very...
Is that it, is it?
Yeah, that's my Kenneth Williams.
That's yours, is it? That's very good. You got the nostrils for it when you do that.
Can't see that on the screen.
No.
Yeah, so... let's jump to, and we can talk about it and come back to it. At the moment, let's go to your man of the match, because I would like to talk about my man of the match at the moment.
Well, I'm going
to
go for Tim McInerney.
Oh, boom.
Yeah.
Same as me. It's got to be. Here you go. Damn.
I think it's one of the... Because it's so good to see him back in the fold, if you like.
Yeah.
And he has two roles that he's playing... Probably three, if you count the fact that he's this complete fop at the start, and then he's the Scarlet Pimpernel, and then he's the Comte de Frou Frou, whatever it's called.
Which is well done, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But Tim McInerney, anyway, is such a fine actor, isn't he? Did you watch that Robbie Coltrane thing where he was accused of abuse?
I didn't.
Did you not see that? I can't remember what it was called now. Oh, Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews?
Julie Walters, I meant to say.
Goodness me, a spoonful of sugar.
Well, hey. And Tim McInerney was obviously a big role in that. And
right.
Just how diverse that was to obviously remember him in Blackadder. He can do comedy so well.
And then you look at him in Game of Thrones. He's in Game of Thrones
now. Of course, yeah.
And he plays this big northern bastard. I was trying to think of a line.
He doesn't say a lot, does he? Because it's his daughter that is running things, or
no? He's I can't remember. I'm when it comes to names, yeah, I've got no idea. It's
but
like
he's
Lord
there,
the
isn't
Rings,
he?
But he's
there.
He's there. Yeah.
In the Night's Watch, the Black, you know, whatever it is. Is it the Night's Watch? What's he call that? Black Watch. It's gone to London's burning now.
Well, the Night's Watch is what? Is at the wall, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's where they are, isn't it?
No,
they're not.
He's got his own castle and stuff.
Where they were,
and didn't they come? Oh, yeah. They went to him
it
to
all
say
gets very
that
confused.
He
it all looks the same to
he,
me.
He had said that he would fight and rally with the Starks, and he didn't when it came to the Battle of the Bastards, didn't he?
That's right.
But now he's joined them.
Yeah.
Because everybody else has joined.
It just seems to be a lot in that room, and like,
Jon
yeah,
Snow.
They're not at the wall.
They're not at the wall. No, they're at.
We digress, and that's nothing to do with Blackadder.
Which is, I do know that.
Yeah, Winterfell. That's right.
Yeah, there you go. See, I thought you were bigger.
No, I enjoy Games of Games. Thrones. I don't get
Games
nerd.
Of Thrones.
Games
more
of Thrones.
Than one?
Yeah, there's been seven.
Is there?
I enjoy Game of Thrones, but I don't. I'm not geeky on it. I don't get mad on it. I've only ever watched each series once.
Yeah, I'm not geeky on it. I've not even watched all the series. Yeah. I watch the updates
I
on
just
you,
keep forgetting.
On YouTube.
I do get sometimes when I'm watching it, get a bit confused. Who's
well,
that?
Yeah, it's easy to get. When it's not
who's
necessarily
that?
Who's on the screen. It's when they start talking about other people.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, who's that?
Yeah.
It's a good episode, this
Welcome week. To classic Game of
yeah,
Thrones TV.
We're not talking Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, Game of Shrones.
No, so that's so Tim McInerney is your
yeah.
your man of the match.
So I digressed. I just wanted to say that how well he does comedy to go in straight, to go in, well, angry as well. It's just, that man's very, very versatile. And I know somebody who saw him on stage. I can't remember what production they saw him in. They just said he was mesmerizing. And he was on stage with somebody, like one of these Hollywood actors. And they said he stole the show. He was like the man. He was just mesmerizing to watch. And you can sort of see a sense of that right back when we did Blackadder 2, couldn't you? With his comedy timing, it's just perfection as Percy.
And well, when we move on to Blackadder
Darling.
Goes Forth, I think he's fantastic in that.
Yeah, he does that. Well, that thing he does with his
yeah,
eye.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But he's not. He's very, very good. He's a very good actor. I mean, the one thing I think it was it Notting Hill?
Yeah, that's a bit generic, isn't it?
That he was in.
He was.
And I'm not. I don't mind Four Weddings and a Funeral, but Four Weddings and Notting Hill and Love Actually are also very upper middle class.
Yeah, I don't do Love Actually very well.
No, and again, it's Richard Curtis, isn't it? And this is Richard Curtis, and I do like his some of his writing, but his movies do tend to be very saccharine sweet, and there's always somebody with a disability.
Yeah,
in the middle of it, and that's I think it's Notting Hill that Tim McInerney is.
Isn't it She's Deaf?
No, she's in a wheelchair, isn't she?
That's right.
And there's some really saccharine sweet.
And it's the fact that, like, Hugh Grant just works in a bookshop, yet he lives right smack bang in Notting Hill in a property that's worth about $3 million.
Yeah, well, that's a Friends kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like all of them, hardly any of them have got jobs, yet they live in the middle of New York and they spend all their time in a fucking coffee shop.
Rather than missing Miggins' pie shop.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Blackadder is the British version of Friends.
Friends, there you go.
There's Blackadder and
that little
Baldrick.
Bloke. Oh no, you should have the bloke on his little
lute
playing the tune. Blackadder chasing him.
I think that'd work.
And why not?
And why not?
So, how? We also rate this episode, don't we? How would you rate this episode? Were we doing it out of five?
I think it was five, yeah. Well, you've always done it out of five.
Yeah. So how many would you give it out of 10? No.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. How many would you give this episode out of?
I mean, it's not one of the worst ones. But to be fair, I mean, whereas you say you really like this series, Blackadder the Third is sort of on par with the original Blackadder with me. Probably a little bit better.
Christ.
A little bit better, but it's not my favourite series.
No.
There's not as many real laugh out loud
moments. It's just one that like I said to you, it came back. It took me a second viewing to really appreciate it. Whereas the first one, when we watched that, I've never gone back to that.
No, I
haven't.
And
it was, we only ended up watching it because we were doing this, and that was there was one laugh in one episode, wasn't it? One chuckle. One chuckle rather than a belly laugh. Whereas this did give me a belly laugh. Sod off.
Yeah, but it's. I'm not saying it's a bad series. I would probably still give it. I'd give this episode a 3. I'd give it a 3. It wasn't a standout episode. But at the same time, you've got some really good performances in there.
Yeah.
So it's
we got a standout episode for me coming soon, actually.
What, in this series?
Yeah. Which is one that I absolutely love.
So we've got three, or well, we're halfway through this series now, aren't we?
Kenneth Connors, that's all I'll say.
Yes.
Always makes me chuckle, that one.
Talking to carry-ons.
Yeah. Am I keeping you up?
You never see it. That's the weird thing, is when I listen to the episode today, you're yawning all the way through it.
Am I?
You are, yeah, and I say exactly the same thing to you. So, are you keeping me up?
It's bad, isn't it? But it's because we have to do a lot beforehand.
And another thing, because I listened to it, and then I went, had to go back through it again because I thought I'd take a note of the Glastonbury lineup names. Yeah. So I put it on this, on the times two speed.
Yeah.
You sound amazingly intellectual when it's at 2x speed.
Oh, really?
It's crazy. I was listening to it and you sounded really, really intelligent.
Well, I'm going to have a listen to this.
I'll play it to you in a minute when we finish. Yeah. But I was listening to it.
Are you trying to say I'm not?
I was sat on the toilet at work listening to it.
Did it put you off?
I thought you sounded like you had a real zing in your voice. Yeah. And you sounded really intelligent. It's like everything, instead of you sort of, not saying that's how you do talk.
But a normal tone,
you're very zippy and you're very, oh, well, I thought, oh my God, it sounds good. It's a new person.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to listen to these episodes, you must listen to them in times two.
To be fair, that's what a lot of people are doing these days.
To zip through them.
Yeah.
I've noticed it on a
few podcast groups that people say it's sort of becoming a thing now.
To be able to
listen to things and listen to more content, people are listening, because it's not like your voices are like a chipmunk.
No.
Your voice is at the same pitch. It's just you're going twice as fast.
Yeah. I'll try it.
Yeah. So anyway, what's your line of the show?
My line is, bonjour, monsieur. Well, monsieur, monsieur, sod off.
Oh, right, okay.
Which just, literally, because it gave me the belly laugh that I think a good comedy line should, and that was the biggest laugh in that show. Like I say, I was chortling through it, but no, that was definitely the belly laugh of it all. And I always laugh anyway when he just says Mrs. Miggins pie shop. He needs that... I can't do it.
He likes that op.
Yeah.
With Bob. Stuff like that, and he's got the lips for it.
Yeah, it's the sod off. It's easy. I'm easily amused, but that's the delivery that made that funny.
That is a good one.
Yours?
Mine? It's the one where Blackadder, they've said their goodbyes to George, and then they go straight downstairs to their quarters. And Blackadder comes in and goes, stick the kettle on, Baldrick. And Baldrick goes, what, aren't we going to France? And Blackadder says, of course we're not going to France. It's incredibly dangerous. And Baldrick says, well, how are you going to win your bet? Blackadder says, simple, Baldrick, by using the large thing between my ears. Baldrick, ooh, your nose.
Yeah.
That's a class.
It's a big setup, isn't it?
It is.
For a,
and he has got a big nose.
He has, but it's an intriguing nose. Do you not find you watch his face?
Well, he's got a very rubber face.
A rubber face? Yes. So, that's about it, isn't it, really?
It is. We spent most of the time talking Game of Thrones. But
no, we didn't. We only gave it a minute.
It's nice to ease our way back into it.
It is. It's very nice. If you've got any comments, do remember to please contact us. You can email us at pancast@live.com about said shows or anything else that you would like to email or talk to us about. Ideas for other shows, for instance. I know that we've got Phoenix Knights in mind. What else? Young Ones. I would imagine we'll probably have a Richard Curtis and a Ben Elton break after this one and go for something else. But what else do we have up our sleeve?
Oh, there's so many.
There is. There
Terry
is loads.
Terry and June.
Terry and June.
Dear John.
I think that would be a hard one to go through, all the Terry and June. So I got all the Steptoe and Sons.
You know what? I've listened to three or four series of Steptoe and Son on audiobook, and that's got to be one of the cruelest sitcoms ever.
Yeah.
That I've had to stop listening to it because it just sounds like elder abuse some of the times. And I've not laughed at all.
Really?
No, I've listened
to it. It's more of a visual thing, isn't
it? Yeah, well, it's not just that.
To be fair, the early series of Steptoe and Son, again, we digress, but earlier series of Steptoe and Son wasn't as funny as when it became colour.
Yeah, yeah.
It became a lot funnier when it became colour.
But it also felt a bit like a one trick. And it also had that sort of, I don't know if you get the same thing when you listen to like the Goons or anything like that, and it's that twee sort of BBC feel of things, because when they do Steptoe and Son, obviously it's in front of like a live audience, isn't it? So they have the music, and then they have Mr. BBC announcer man going, Steptoe and Son, yes, you know, the continuing story of blah 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 with Howard H. Corbett as Steptoe, and then it'll. Then Steptoe will say, he'll go, oh, Clyde, I'm a dirty old man. And then everyone claps. And Wilfred Bramble is Albert. I've had enough of that, my old bloke.
It's Bruce.
And everyone claps. And you sort of feel a little bit, oh, my God, it just doesn't sound.
Yeah, but that's of its age, of its time. That's
it is,
why.
But it's the same as when you I've listened to the Goons. And then all of a sudden, I can't remember the name of the guy, but it's like every episode, there's a guy does a song with his harmonica.
Oh, really?
So I can't remember the name of the guy.
Oh, right.
And then they do a bit more. And
but
then
the Goons is really funny.
The bits are funny. But then again, then like two-thirds of the way through, I can't remember the name of the guy again, but it's him and his big band, and they're singing like a swing song.
Oh, right. I'd
but obviously, it was the height. That's what entertainment was.
Yeah.
But when you listen to it now, you think, ooh, it feels a bit sort of...
Harold. So, where else can people get in touch with
us?
Well,
you can get in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram, just Pancast. Facebook.com/Pancast and Instagram.com/Pancast and on Twitter at Pancast Pods and even on our YouTube channel, Pancast Pods.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
So thank you very much, Pav.
Well, thank you very much.
I'll look forward to doing the next episode four. And look forward to talking to you about
it. Yeah, what's episode four called?
I kind of got it written down.
Blink and Blinkability.
Is it that one?
No, there isn't one called Blink and Blink.
No, it's called Sense and Sinality.
There you go.
So, yes, we'll look forward to speaking to you next time. Yeah, so thank you very much for listening. See you again soon.
Cheers.
This podcast is sponsored by Relay for Life Siren Sister. It's happening on the 29th and 30th of June at the South Cerny Airfield at 12 p.m. There will be live music, entertainment, food and drink. For more information or to enter a team, visit www.cancerresearchuk.org/relay for life. Or if you'd like to come and support the fundraisers, the gates open at 12 p.m. on the 29th of July at the South Cerny Airfield. Come along and have some fun and support a good cause. And this podcast is also sponsored by Planet All Stars, Siren Sisters' brand new comic, toy and collectible shop. For more information, visit www.planetallstars.co.uk.